Tasma Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Henavitale Sayam Upakanamaham Vidat Isavada Manchakopa Chubhischa Kripasthapa Titram Papinego Isra. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the conversation that we've been reading between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, the last thing that was mentioned was there was a boundary point between pure devotional service and pure devotional service, but two different types of pure devotional service. Prior to this point, it's been leading step by step to pure devotional service, and yet everything will have its divisions. So pure devotional service is divided into two particular specific categories, and the second of the categories will be divided into further categories. So the two particular specific categories of pure devotional service are based on what is the motivation for you, for one to be serving Krishna. So what is the motivation? One is because you're supposed to do it. And the point of impelling one is the holy books, the Shastras. Or looking at it from a simple angle also, it could be from what's impelling one could be because my family does it, and or because of my friends serve Krishna and the culture says that this is what you do. So these are an external force, so to speak, an external impetus for one to serve Krishna. And when one has that type of an external force, of course, that's wonderful, that one's serving the Supreme Lord for whatever reason, it's wonderful. But when one is motivated by something external, then it's not going to be very strong. And there will always be a struggle with the desires that are born from being a conditioned soul in this world. There's always going to be a struggle between one side is what I'm supposed to do and the other side is something inside of me. Is my conditioning, my karma is pushing me to want this and want that and want that. But fixed in devotion due to what Shastra says is wonderful. So that's called Vidhi Bhakti or Vaidhi Bhakti, when one's devotional service is externally impelled by ultimately by Shastra. So that is never criticized. But yet, it's not the highest. So in pure devotional service, I'm doing it not to get anything on the material level, the intellectual level. But when it's Vaidhi Bhakti, it's impelled by the Shastra. But yet there's another type of pure devotional service which is more powerful. And this is what we read about last week. We heard about pure devotional service on the spontaneous level. And that is very powerful because it's coming from within. That which one wants to do is serve Krishna, because one has that type of a consciousness, one has that type of a heart, one has that type of a desire. This is what I want to do. I'm attracted to Krishna. I'm attracted to Krishna's service. I'm attracted to those who serve Krishna in that way. That move, that sweetness is impelling me to do it. I want to do it. So the two are both wonderful, but one naturally is going to be more powerful than the other. The one that's spontaneous is certainly more powerful than the one that's impelled from something external, doing it because one's supposed to do it or has to do it. So the example that's given, or the verse that was given that we read last week, is Krishna Bhakti Rasita Bhavato Mati Kriyatam Zalikuti Chalabhyate Chalabhyate Tatra Loyam Api Mula Mekalam Dharma Koti Sukhatar Nalabhyate. It is not easy to get this spontaneous desire. It's the root of it is a particular type of greed, a taste. I want this. I want to serve Krishna. If I don't have service to Krishna, I don't have anything. So to get this Janma Koti Sukrita Nalabhyate, one can't get it just by performing pious activities, even birth after birth after birth. It's a gift from Krishna through devotees. So Rupa Goswami has compiled, to summarize the Prabhupada's purport here, because we read that last week. Rupa Goswami has compiled a book called the Padavali. It's a compilation of different verses, and in it he's included this verse. So now the talks between Ramananda Roy, because they're progressive, they're going from the lowest point, which is still wonderful, to ascending heights of purity, ascending heights of intensity of desire, ascending heights of intimacy with the absolute truth, with Krishna. So everything that's going to be said now is going to be on that platform, the platform of spontaneous love for Krishna. So there's different divisions. There's a division of devotional service, because the question that Ramananda Roy is responding to is, what is the goal of life? What is the ultimate goal of life? So there's different divisions. So the first was to perform one's duties from the Varnashrama point of view, from the point of view of the regulations of Shastra. This is what I should do, and I'm in this category, so I perform this. This is how I act, and there's a gradual elevation. Then that's always mixed with karma or desires for fruit. And then on top of that is when it's mixed with desires for jnana, the desires for liberation, the desires to get free from the sufferings of material existence, the acceptance that there's no actual situation in the material world that can make the soul happy, and therefore the continuous adjustments that a person who has material desires on the physical level is always trying to make adjustments to try to organize his existence, his life, so that there's happiness. But then the stage above that will be the more agyan stage, where I don't want to hear this material. I don't want to play on that level anymore. I want to be free from that level, because there's no end to the desires, and it still doesn't bring me the satisfaction, even if I adjust, even if everything was adjusted just exactly the way I wanted, it still wouldn't make me happy. And it's not possible to adjust things exactly the way that I wanted. It's an endless pursuit of making, if you adjust it this way, then what would Prabhupada give the examples? Like if you're carrying a heavy bundle, and you're carrying it on your hip, and your hip gets tired, so you put it on your shoulder, and then your shoulder gets tired, and then put it on your head, and your head gets tired, and then you can put it on, carry it on this side and that side. You just keep shifting around the burden, and the gyan side, the liberation side, is, well, I'm just not going to carry it anymore. It's just too much. I'm going to find my happiness on a different level from within, understanding I'm a soul. And then there's, and then above that is just, go, I just want to please Krishna, because this is the right thing to do. This is what Shastra says, devotional service, bhakti. And then when that's impelled by Shastra, it's one thing. And then this new category is what's when it's impelled, when it's It's like when you're trying to light a fire, and you have to add flame, and then you have to fan it and fan it. And at some point, you just can leave it alone. It's already caught, and it's naturally just going to burn and burn and burn. So that's like spontaneous love. But now that the topic is going to be impelled still higher, different levels of even spontaneous love. And the first one, when Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, yes, that's good, spontaneous love, but agekaha, please tell me something more. And Ramananda Roy, he says, dasya prema, that means love in the mood of servitorship, that the Lord is my master, and I am a servant. This is who I am. I naturally, completely, I don't have to be thinking, oh, now I have to serve to get something. That's not purity. That's business. But serving to please one's master is a level of spontaneous love. Sarva Sanyasa Ramananda Roy says this is the essence of the conclusion. And of course, Mahaprabhu is going to push it higher, but now we're hearing about this level. So here is Prabhupada's translation. Hearing up to the point of spontaneous love, the Lord said, Mahaprabhu said, this is all right, but if you know more, please tell me. In reply, Ramananda Roy said, spontaneous loving service in servitude as exchanged by master and servant is the highest perfection. So even this concept is so rare nowadays. But there was a time, even in the not so recent past, where people would love their masters, their bosses, and people would stay loyal to their bosses, and people would stay in the company that they were employed in, because the company would take care of them in such a nice way that they would just stay there their whole lives. But now that's completely gone. Now you stay in a company for a couple of years and you don't like your boss, and you'd have to do it because you want the fruit. There's no sense of being cared for. It's still a sense of you're on your own, and you stay there for a few years until the next higher point on the career path is revealed. There's not that sense of love. There's not a sense of giving oneself to another. And therefore, it's not actually very satisfying. And the hope is the next step up the ladder will be more satisfying. What that usually simply means is that I'm going to get more higher pay. That's what it means. And then, of course, there's the nasty old competition on that level, too, because you're in a position and there's so many canine creatures below you who are barking at you and trying to, either in front of you or behind your back, trying to pull you down or so that they can climb up to get your position. And you're saying, okay, you can have this, but I'm just going to go up one step higher, and then you can have this one. It'll be vacant. But don't bite me now. But it's not like that. So previously there were people who just served, and they were happy, they had enough, they were given enough, they felt cared for, they just served their boss, their master. So when that is, that mood is given to the Supreme Lord, even though it's not the highest, it is wonderful. Because there can be no one who is a greater master, a kinder master than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So some people have that seed within them. It's called Sanskrit Dasyabhav, the mood of servitude. And now it's so hard to even accept this, that I'm supposed to serve someone, and that's going to be satisfying, that I'm a servant. That's satisfying in and of itself, and not getting something in return for that. Of course, you do get something in return. You're cared for, and there's an exchange of love. But just serving? I mean, no one goes to the university to get a degree in service. But yet there's a whole industry called the service industry. But no one's really in there to serve, because serving means you're giving. Everyone, everywhere is there to take, and no one's interested in giving more than they, not no one, but it's a rare person who's interested in giving more than they get. Everyone says it's only a good position, a good situation when I get more than I give. But it doesn't satisfy. So what's going to be described here, and once you see this or begin to see it, it becomes very interesting, that everything that exists in the material world, all the relationships that exist in the world in which we live in, that we have our experience in, this also exists in the spiritual realm. Because this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. It's not what's called anthropomorphic, where we're just imagining the spiritual world to be a perfect version of this world. But it's the opposite. This world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So that which exists in its non-perfect form in this world exists in its perfect form in the spiritual world. So this Dasya Bhav is like that. So here is Srila Prabhupada's explanation. Spontaneous service to the Lord is called devotional service, with an intimate attachment between the servitor and the served. And interestingly, that all the relationships in Krishna Loka, in relationship with Krishna, there are so many different relationships that one can have. One is servitorship, one is friendship, one is parental, one is conjugal. But in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's only one relationship, and that is servitude. It's only thinking that he is my master. And we saw this with Srila Prabhupada, that amongst his disciples, everyone was a disciple. Everyone was a disciple. No one was a friend although some devotees had a relationship with Prabhupada, was more like their father, and they were like the son, and cared for in a day when sons serve their parents in that way. So spontaneous loving service to the Lord is called devotional service, with an intimate attachment between the servitor and the served. There's an intimacy in that relationship. And because it's based on love, and because it's spontaneous, and because it's completely natural, then there's full faith in each other. And there's full trust, because there can't be intimacy of relationship unless there's actual trust, faith, trust. You can't have a deep relationship with someone you don't trust. So this intimacy is called mamata. What does mamata mean in Hindi? Huh? Not exactly. Huh? Yeah. What does it mean? You know Hindi? What is mamata? There's a word, yes? What does it mean?
I mean, it's my compassion made up.
You don't know Hindi. Yeah. But a particular sense of possessiveness. This one's mine. This is mine. Is that correct? Because I don't know Hindi. Is that correct?
My understanding is more related to my
value. Okay, therefore, okay. In Hindi. But it's more generally, the essence of it is a sense of mindness. This This person is mine. So we say, my mother, my friend, my wife, my husband, my children. So there's children, but if it's my children, then it's a whole different sense of relationship than if it's just children. You say, my country, we say, my car, my house. Soon as the my is there, the relationship is very strong. It's different when you have for instance, if you have a rented house and a house that you've bought. You know, it's my house. And when it's soon as something is mine, so that feeling of myness is in Sanskrit, mamata. And when one thinks of Krishna as my Lord, my master, that's mamata. And there can only be a deep loving relationship when that mamata is there. And in Vrindavan, that is the prominent mood. It's always mamata. That Krishna is just like if you meet someone. Where are you from in India?
I'm from Punjab.
Punjab, what city?
Namashar. Close to Chandigarh.
From what city?
Close to Chandigarh.
What city?
It's called Namashar, SPS Nagar, or Sharpur.
Okay. When you meet someone from a village
that's
near yours or from your place, and the closer it is to your place, like if you meet someone from Delhi, it's one thing, but if you meet someone from Chandni Chowk, or from Bali, you know, if you meet someone from Bali, there's a feeling immediately of commonality. So that all the residents of Vrindavan, we're from the same village, and there's automatically a relationship, especially if you've grown up with that person. If you went to the same school as them, and then you see them, you have friends like that? You have friends like that? You have so many friends like that. So, they have that feeling that the shared growing up with Krishna. They have, and that is the mamata feeling, and it's in different relationships. So here is the Dasya Bhava, or Krishna is my master. I just love him so much. I want to serve him. He's so great. I love to serve him. Between the servitor and the served, there is a feeling of oneness because there's a oneness of interest based on the need of the master. And an expert servant, he knows the need of the master before the master expresses it even, because there is a oneness in mood, so intimate. So Prabhupada explained that there's three types of servants. Because he used to have many of his disciples who wanted to serve him because there was an intimacy of being close to him. So one was you tell them what to do and they do it. Another is that this one knows my mind so well that even before and my needs so well, in other words, he's so much in harmony with my consciousness that before I even ask, he knows what's required, and he does it. So that means, think of what that means, because usually we live in our own worlds, the world of our own mind and our own consciousness, and everyone else is sort of just has a small part in this drama that's going on, which is my mind. But when someone... his consciousness is so connected to another's consciousness that person has the prominent role. That's love. And love is the fulfillment, the highest point, is that such a harmony that without even saying anything, they know what the need is and they fulfill it. So the first one was that one, The second one is he does what he's told, and the third one he's told but doesn't do it anyway. And everyone becomes in this world a master of excuses. So many reasons why I couldn't do it, didn't do it, shouldn't do it, can't do it, won't do it. Master of excuses. And the mind is like, it's like a ChatGPT that generates unlimited excuses. It's incredible at that. So this mamata, the sense of minus, begins, Prabhupada saying, with dasya prema, service rendered to the master by the servant. And it's not, oh, he's telling me to do something again. Anyway, one more time, because it's Friday. Saturday, I get off anyway. No, there's a loving desire to please spontaneously, naturally. And that person, in one sense, lives within your mind. And when that person is Krishna, alive in your mind, always spontaneously trying to please him, that's the platform. That's such an ecstatic platform. Instead of Krishna being the prominent person in our minds, the dissatisfaction that comes with me being the prominent person in my mind always, and without Krishna there, and me thinking to please him, the opposite of that, the ahankar position, is when I'm thinking everyone has to please me. And if you want to be frustrated in life, just think that everyone wants to please you. And that's the purpose of existence, that everyone should be wanting to please me. Because as we find out very rapidly, no one wants to please me. When I was once in Malaysia once many years ago, and I was in a university professor's office, and I saw a sign on his, because university professors always have little sayings on their, not always, but have little sayings on their offices, their little teeny offices. And this one was such a brilliant one that it really, something that I've remembered for the last, how many years, 50 years or something, 40 years. And it was this: I used to worry about what people were thinking about me until I realized no one was thinking about me. Everyone was thinking about themselves. You can have it. You can put it on your office. So, unless there is such a relationship, Prabhupada continues, the loving affairs between the Lord and his devotees are not actually fixed. It's not spontaneous. It's not natural. Unless there's a feeling he's my Lord, it's not fixed. When the devotee feels the Lord is my master and renders service unto him, Krishna consciousness is awakened. And as soon as one feels like that, that he's my master, my Lord, that naturally Krishna says, oh, he's my servant. And therefore, when one serves the all-powerful, all-wealthy, all-beautiful, all-great, all-knowing Supreme Lord, then one is naturally feels protected. And if there's no feeling like that, then the feeling of being protected, if it's not that kind of surrender, the feeling of being protected is never there. And then when feeling protected is not there, then what is there? If you don't feel protected, what do you feel? Yeah. Disconnected. That's not what I was looking for.
Insecurity.
In one word, in one simple word, fear. Fear. You're always afraid because you don't know what's going to happen next and there's no one to protect you. So what does it take to have this kind of relationship with Krishna to feel always protected? It takes trust, you would say shraddha, faith.
Experience,
you know, born out of experience. You know, one can't take those steps forward unless one has the faith and the trust and the experience. Because one, is it real? Is it really going to protect me? And Krishna's thinking, is this person real? Is going to really serve me? Let's see. What's the real interest? So when the devotee feels the Lord is my master and renders service unto him, Krishna consciousness is awakened naturally because Krishna says, okay, this person is trustworthy. Blessing. This fixed consciousness is on the higher platform than simple cognizance of love of Godhead. So what does that sentence mean? This consciousness, this fixed consciousness of servitude, is on a higher level than simple cognizance of love of Godhead. What does that mean?
You have determination in that consciousness to keep serving, to serve.
Yeah, but that's not exactly what the sentence means. It's true.
Yeah. Practical knowledge versus practical
knowledge.
What is it referring to?
Intellectual understanding.
Yeah, more like that. But even a little bit more, that to understand God is great, and I'm just going to, he's all beautiful, and I'm just going to meditate on him because he's so wonderful. So this is called shantaras. It's inactive. But it's appreciation of the greatness of, in every sense, the greatness of the Supreme Person. And so much appreciation that you can just think and meditate upon him all day long. He's so beautiful. His pastimes are so wonderful. But the sense of servitude isn't there. So this is going through the different gradations of the different rasas. This fixed consciousness is on a higher platform than simple cognizance of love of God. Not simple cognizance of the greatness of God, but simple cognizance, oh, love of God is there. Look how wonderful it is. I'm just going to meditate on it. No, but interact with Krishna. And the servitude is the basis of all the other different relationships. So they're nested inside of each other. Servitude, there's a great distance between the Lord and the master and the servant. He's always there and the servant is always here. Servant is always like this. So there's higher levels in that, because higher means more intimate. The more intimacy in the relationship, but we're not supposed to think this is inferior, even though other relationships may be more intimate. It's not that this is inferior. It's like the way I think of this one is like if there's an ant, and the ant is at the bottom of what's Mount Kailash or something like that. And he's looking up, and right at the top of that, of course he can't see it, but he's an ant at the bottom, and this is so high, and he's here, and because there's this peak over here, and this peak a little bit higher, and this peak a little bit higher, and this peak a little higher, it's irrelevant in one sense, considering his position from his position, even though there is higher peaks, but from his position, they're all way beyond my capacity. They're all so high. They're all so wonderful. And they're all basically equal. So even though there are higher, on the highest levels, there are stages, still they're all the same, because they're all on the transcendental platform. So here's two Shastric, Ramananda Roy gives two Shastric quotations to back up his point about servitorship on the transcendental platform, including a mamata. One is from the Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 5th chapter. A man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's so much of the sort of the propagation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Chant Hare Krishna. It's so purified. It will Chaito Darpana Majanam, it will clean your heart. Chant Hare Krishna. So if a man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet create the holy places of pilgrimage. So there's a statement, a man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet create the holy places of, just by his presence, the Supreme Lord's presence in a holy place, people go there to get purified, even if he's just stepped there. Then, therefore, what remains to be attained by those who have become his servants? So just by saying his name purifies the heart. And just by his one time visiting a place, his lotus feet are so pure and powerful and wonderful that just by having stepped on a place, that place becomes a holy place. And what to speak of someone who serves the Supreme Lord intimately? Therefore, what remains to be attained? What else is, one goes to a holy place, or one chance to become purified, or one goes to a holy place to gain some vision or some, but if one's already, some purification, but if one's already serving the Supreme Lord, then he's already attained those things that are meant to be obtained by others, by chanting and by going to a holy place. So here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 5th chapter, 16th verse, and is an admission by the great sage Durvas Muni. Durvas Muni, a caste brahmana and great yogi, he used to hate Maharaj Ambarish. When he decided to chastise Maharaj Ambarish through his yogic powers, he was chased by the Supreme Lord's disc, the Sudarshan Chakra. When things were settled, he said, when the holy name of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is heard by any person, that person is immediately sanctified, immediately purified. The Supreme Lord is master of the devotees, and the devotees under his shelter naturally come to own his opulences. That's like the servant lives in the house of the master, even though the master is like this. The servant is there living in his house. So he's living in the house of the master, but he doesn't think of it as his. But he's living there, enjoying all the treasures that are there. So how wonderful it is to be a servant of the Supreme Lord. And then a second verse from the great sage of the great acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, Sri Yamunacharya. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified, completely peaceful. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a perfect master? Okay, and then it goes to the next step. But why don't we just stop here to see if there's any questions or comments?
Yeah. You stated in the beginning that the only relationship with Lord Chaitanya is self.
Except for Mother Sachi and Jagannath Mitra and the friends, but all the, when he took sannyas and he was relating to him, even his friends became his had the relationship of Dasya with him. even the friends from his youth, because they understood who he was. When they thought he was just a friend, it was one thing. But even Mother Sachi, after he took sannyas, and she understood that no ordinary human being could do what he was doing, then she became very reverential. But of course, the motherly love filtered through that too. But yeah, even Nityananda considered himself a servant. Even Advaita Prabhu considered himself a servant of Mahaprabhu. And they wanted to taste that, the sweetness of that. Mahaprabhu treated Advaita Acharya like a friend, because he was elder, so he treated him as a superior. But Advaita Acharya didn't want that. He wanted Mahaprabhu to treat him as a servant, as his servant. That was his mood, servant of the Supreme Lord. So we contrived the whole circumstance for Mahaprabhu. Because what do you do with a servant that you'd never do with a superior? Of course, in the West, no one could even figure out what that question means. But what would you do with a servant? How could you interact with a servant that you couldn't interact with a superior? Chastise. But nowadays, do you ever chastise your boss, Jimmy? But everyone is chastising them inside, but never verbally, right? Is that true or not? Yes or no? You've chastised your boss. What, did they like it? They said, oh, thank you very much, Avi. We really appreciate it. We needed that. How long did you last after that?
Still, yeah.
That means you're making them a lot of money. You can't do that, right? You can't chastise your boss. But for someone who's supposed to be your assistant, you're allowed to correct them. Correct me, chastise. Any other questions or comments on this? Yes.
So one of the five rasas is the Shantaras. Is Shantaras also present in the spiritual world? Or is it mainly in the material world when the soul is?
In Goloka Vrindavan, the Shantaras, but it's mixed with other higher rasas. There's no just Shantaras. Like if there's a tree, that would be in Shantaras. But still, Krishna is so attractive, it brings more affection and desire to serve. When will Krishna climb me? I could give him a mango. So in Goloka Vrindavan, even Shantara, there's no pure Shantaras. And it may be there in Vaikuntha, but not in Goloka Vrindavan. So the reason why in Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't consider Shantarasa rasa, even, do you know why? Do you know why?
There's no exchange.
Huh?
There's no exchange.
There's no, because for there to be rasa, there has to be some, you could say, interaction or exchange or even some friction. Like what generates rasa or the sweetness with Krishna and Mother Yasoda? If Krishna always saying, yes, mom, yes, mother, whatever you want, yes, 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 and he always did everything. But that's not where the rasa comes from. The rasa comes from when Krishna gets very naughty and then Mother Yasoda chastises him and he does something more naughty and that brings the rasa. So in Shantaras, there's no tensions. But there's a feeling of great peace. So most of us are sort of longing a bit on that side of things. Because if I just want peace, who's the center? It's me. And Krishna's there to award me peace. It's not quite on that level. And most of the religions of the world, from what I've seen, they're interested in peace. Shanti, peace. Or liberation, freedom from the sufferings. It's the ultimate. Yeah, take your time.
There is some, when we're at home, you know, maybe as we get older or there's lockdowns or something like that again, how would we get that motivation? Because most of us get it from going out. You go out and you get motivation to do more. If you go out on books or whatever, but how do you get that motivation when you stay home?
See, you have to, one, if one doesn't want to be confronted with that problem, one has to become motivated internally, even when before there's a lockdown and before one's old. Because if you're only motivated by external things, need external stimulation, then at some point there may not be external stimulation. But if you're motivated by an internal desire from coming from Shastra, or coming from deeper things, then you're in a more safe position.
Like I said in the beginning, that if you haven't preached successfully, you wouldn't be able to retire to Vrindavan in the end.
What did he mean by successfully?
Constantly.
But not meaning getting some specific results, meaning made the attempt, because the attempt is the important thing, not the success. So then when you try to serve Krishna that way, it's not easy, but you're putting Krishna first. You're doing things that you may not particularly want to continue doing, but if it's pleasing to Krishna, it's pleasing to you. So Krishna really appreciates that, and he gives so many blessings if you put. And that's what Prabhupada meant, that if you haven't done that, you won't have the mercy to be able to retire. But what you're asking is something a little different. There's some people, when they've done their service, and now it's time they understand, they just to concentrate internally. So one won't be able to do that in a mature stage unless one has used his active years and his active energy to in active service.
So it is, you have to turn it, actually have to reach a state where you do turn internally.
What do you think?
I think yes. Yeah, because you keep pushing on the outside all the time, but you're getting tired and tired.
And not only that, the outside doesn't cooperate. Mm-hmm. And you don't.
Well, it does if you are talking about Krishna. Like if you've got books and you're trying to show people books and talk to them, then again, there's satisfaction and cleanliness. You feel a sense of being cleaned.
Purified.
Yeah.
But if you're not strong in that, even that comes from an internal desire. Well, that seems to be at the core of what you're. And of course, you like the reciprocation, but still, at the core is your relationship with Prabhupada. Any other questions? Yeah.
I thought mentioning talking about pure devotional service in the start, and how. When you pray to Krishna or yourself, you shouldn't have an expectation of the result. But how does that kind of differentiate between turning a desire into a prayer in the sense of if you're serving Krishna and you can't surrender with your intelligence, then you might have a desire to, for example, pray for a loved one and maybe spiritualize in the sense that you pray for a loved one because you want them to serve as well. But at the end of the day, they also belong to Krishna, don't belong to that person. So how do I distinguish between the two? Because you are expecting a result out there as well.
I couldn't quite get the essence of the question.
Like the difference between serving and
serving to get a specific result.
Yeah, and the result can be different in the scenario
than your desire, than you had hoped for.
But not necessarily, like you might pray, some might pray for a material result, which is not necessarily pure in that sense. You expect something to return, but some might pray for something that's in a way spiritualized directly.
Yeah.
Also directly, for example.
But then, right. So you're praying for a loved one or something so that they be, so you can pray on one level, cure them of their sore throat, or on another level, please help them become your devotee. But then there's either attachment to the result or non-attachment to the result, because a prayer is a desire. It's not a demand.
Mm-hmm.
Unless one's on a level where you can make demands from God, but most of us aren't quite on that level. So if you desire, please help this person in this way. It's my desire, but everything is up to you, my Lord, ultimately.
So it's still recommended to kind of use that love and devotion to something like that. Or some may argue saying that, okay, then everything's up to Krishna, I don't know.
Right,
in a sense.
But it's, there's a natural tendency to pray for one's beloved ones, even though the belovedness may be on the material level, the cause of it, like one's parents or something like that. So use that natural tendency, whatever natural tendency we have in the service of Krishna. Because on one hand, you pray for that person, but you don't pray for someone else who is not your, who there's no mamata connection with, then you don't consider them a beloved. And how about all the animals that are mercilessly killed? We don't care about them at all. And how about the people in a different country? There's a crazy war going on and they're being bombed to rubble or et cetera, et cetera. So we don't care for them, but it's just because this person is my physical relationship. So there's something less deep on that, certainly, but maybe that's the best we can do at this point in our life. But it's natural, too. You can't fight with what's natural. Well, you can, but unless you're on a higher level, you'll lose the fight. I remember one time when I first started chanting, I was in Buffalo, New York, and it was such a cold place. It's hard to imagine how cold it is, but it was just so, the winter is like, I don't know if it was in Fahrenheit, so I don't, but it was like minus 30, minus 50, and windy and cold, and so much snow on the ground. So I was up in the school, university library, reading the Bhagavad Gita, and I was reading, and I was so excited, and, you know, not my body. And everything. So I decided, I went outside in the cold without my coat, and I was able to like keep intellectually, you know, my body was cold, I'm not cold. And it was great. I got inside, and the next day I was so sick. So notice I said I was so sick instead of my body was so sick, because when you have an identification, yeah, you don't challenge the laws of nature. Prabhupada said that too, you know, don't challenge the laws of material. Krishna will protect me so I can jump out of the airplane. I'm a devotee. Krishna will protect me. We don't act in that way, but better in general to use what's natural in the service of Krishna. Like you have certain natural abilities given by Krishna. And theoretically, as a soul, those abilities may not have anything to do with you, they're just your karma. The parabdha karma, the karma that comes along with your body. But all you can do basically in one sense is use whatever Krishna has given you, whatever situation you're in, as best you can in his service. It's practical. Yeah. See, a problem when there's attachment to the results and your faith depends on getting your way with the results, it's somewhat a dangerous position to be in, because mean, things don't always go your way according to your plan and your desire. So things go according to Krishna's plan and Krishna's desire. Well, like you get some kind of a war going on, and once and they're both, you know, one group is playing, please make my side win, and the other group is playing to God, please make my side win. How's he going to work it out? That's up to him. it's up to Nitesh. Okay. So that's how you would work it out, but you're not the one who works it out. That's the point. So, like, if you say I prayed to him, and it's not a draw, maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he doesn't listen to good advice. He doesn't know what's best, but I do. And then, so it's a dangerous road to take. Okay, let us end. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.